not only am I sick and I don't feel well, then I feel like a failure because I'm not doing what's on the training schedule.
Dish Runs Radio episode 626 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we dive into today's episode of the show, just want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you in part by the good folks over at Ultra Running, which is the brand of shoes that I've been wearing for years and years and years, and a company that I've been fortunate enough to be an ambassador for and continue to be an ambassador for and talk about, promote every once in a while on the show. And one thing, you know, you've heard me talk about the shoes before. We're going to talk about them a bit more as we go today as well. But one thing that I haven't mentioned often, but it's worth pointing out, worth noting, that one of the cool things about Ultra, especially if you're not sure, you know, if Zero Drop is for you, or are you going to like the foot-shaped toe box, things like that, Ultra has a really good return policy. Basically, it's 30 days, no questions asked. You know, is get them, try them, wear them, beat them up, take them out, get them muddy, whatever you got to do, put them through the paces. And if you don't like them, you know, within the 30 days, you can return them, no questions asked. And that's definitely the case when you get them online. And I'm about 99% sure that that's the case if you get them at any retailer, any local, you know, running store that carries Ultras. You know, that return policy is from the company, not from the store. So you're going to have no problem getting them, trying them, wearing them, you know, and deciding if they're the right shoe for you or not. So if you've been on the fence, if you're not quite sure, you know, do I want to give them a shot? Do I want to try them? What have you got to lose? And ultimately, that was the thing that got me to give them a shot, because I'm not the kind of guy to buy shoes online. But when I saw that, you know, it was a no questions asked, no problems, 30-day return policy, I said, you know what? Let me give them a shot. And the rest, as they say, has been history. So if you're interested in checking out what Ultra has to offer on the shoe front or on the apparel front, but definitely the shoe front is where I got started, and might be, you know, if you're looking for a new pair of shoes or a new style of shoes, might be worth trying for you as well. Head over to dizruns.com/ultra. That'll direct you right there to the Ultra page, and find out what, you know, pick a pair and give them a shot. And if you want any further recommendations, you can always let me know. I could talk about Ultras all day. So let me know what you're looking for, and I'll give you my recommendation on what shoe might be the right type of thing for you to try if you're so inclined. So anyway, without any further ado, let's go ahead and dive in to today's episode of the show. Hey guys, today's guest and I have a few things in common. Obviously, we're both runners. We also are both coaches, and we are also both part of Ultra's red team of ambassadors. And as such, I have no doubts that we will have no trouble finding plenty of topics worth discussing today. So instead of dragging out the intro any longer, I'm just going to go ahead and dive right in, get to the good stuff, and officially welcome Miss Angela Dunn to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Angela. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, definitely. Looking forward to it. And guys, we've got all kinds of places to connect with Angela if you're, you know, so moved during the conversation that you want to find out more about what she's got going on. Her coaching website is goldenpeakperformance.com, and that's goal, clever spelling, although spell check's going to hate you, G-O-A-L-D-E-N, peakperformance.com. And her blog, more personal kind of stuff, is theroadlessrun.com. And on the socials, two different handles, one kind of, again, more coaching professional related, and one more personal, and both tied into those original URLs. So on the social medias for the coaching side, at Golden Peak, and again, G-O-A-L-D-E-N, Peak, and on the more personal stuff, the blog stuff, The Road Less Run, at The Road Less Run, Instagram, Twitter, all the places you can find it. And as per usual, we'll have things linked up in the show notes. So if you're out on the go, can't write things down, don't remember stuff while you're running and listening and running errands or whatever it is you're doing, all you got to do is get to the show notes. Dizruns.com/626 will take you right there. And of course, we'll have everything linked up, synopsis of the show, all the things that are always in the show notes. Dizruns.com/626 will get you there for today's chat. So, Angela, the way we always start off the show is with a very simple and straightforward question that for some folks is a pretty simple one to answer, and for others, boy, it's a real head scratcher and a hemmer and a har, and it takes a few minutes to get through. But it's just to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
The mile.
Really?
Yes. I've always wanted to be a miler. I'm just not fast enough to be very good at that distance. I don't know. There's just something about it. The mile has always kind of been this like romanticized distance in track and field. And when I was growing up, and well, still now to this day, I've always been a huge fan of Alan Webb. He was the first like professional runner that I ever had heard of when I was back in middle school and high school. And he was a miler. So I kind of got it in my head that I wanted to be a miler. So anytime I get to run the mile, I'm pretty excited.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Do you have the opportunity to race the mile very often?
No. It's been a couple of years, especially since I moved out here to Colorado. There aren't really many mile races. Everything's kind of like a trail race or an ultra race.
Right. Yeah. It feels like, you know, some of those more unique distances tend to be kind of isolated regionally. So you got, you know, for the answers that have come on the show and that I'm kind of aware of, it's like the mile, the 10 mile, sometimes even the 5 mile, like kind of that Northeast area. You've got some options for those types of distances, but once you start getting out of Philly, DC, New York, that kind of region right there, boy, it seems like the options, like I think we have maybe one mile race in the area down here, and it's like part of a four race series, so it's kind of hard to, like, I mean, you could just run just the one, but a lot of folks are running, you know, 5k, 1 mile, 2 mile, 5k in one day with total time, so it's hard to just purely race the mile in that type of situation.
Yeah, I've always wanted to be a miler, and I did get to run it in high school and college and a few times after college. It's just I don't know that I'll ever get any faster at that distance, but it is my favorite.
Yeah, it's a fun one, and definitely, like, I feel like for, you know, the one or two times that I've really done just a hard mile or even just like a mile time trial, something like that, it's a good blowout distance, but you don't have to, you know, it doesn't take too long. So unlike, you know, the 5K or something like that, where you're pretty much toeing the line of blowing it out the whole time, mm-hmm. but it's obviously, you know, three times as far for that mile. It's like you can kind of handle that high level of just pushing, going, and then knowing that, you know, in whatever your time frame is, whether it's 5 minutes, 6, 7, 8 minutes, somewhere in there, this is all going to be over with, and we can go back mm-hmm. to more comfortable running.
Exactly.
So you mentioned, you know, running in high school and things like that. Obviously, you've been running for most of your life then?
Yeah, I started running middle school track when I was in seventh grade because I just kind of wanted to be involved in a sport. I wanted to be an athlete, but I'm not able to really catch, throw, kick, jump. Like, those aren't my skill set. Probably because growing up, I had 5 eye surgeries. I was born with crossed eyes. And so my depth perception isn't super great. And my coordination's not super great because of that. And so I ended up I have monocular vision, so I can see out of both of my eyes. They just don't work together appropriately. So running kind of seemed like my best bet. Mm-hmm. And when I started running track, I was doing more like sprinting type of races in middle school. And then somewhere before my freshman year, the cross country coach approached me and she's like, you know what, you should really sign up for cross country next year. I think you could be a good distance runner. And I started training that summer. I started logging some miles, and the rest is kind of just history.
Right. Right. So, eyesight now, like you said, you can see, but not always the like you said, the depth perception, things like that, where the eyes work together is a bit of a struggle. Does that cause any, I have to imagine some struggles as it relates to running that you have to kind of navigate?
Yeah, it's really hard. Like, living in Colorado, everyone is big onto trail running and everybody loves doing these like super long ultras. Trail running's not my favorite. I think part of it is because like I tend to run super, super slow on the trails. It's just hard for me to see. I trip and fall a lot. I've improved a lot over the years, but if given the choice to like go run 10 miles on the road or go run 10 miles on a trail, I'm probably almost always going to pick the road because it's just easier for me. I don't have as many things to worry about tripping over. I feel more comfortable there. But, you know, nonetheless, you go run on this beautiful trail, and sometimes it doesn't matter right. how long it takes you to get to the end of it. It's just about the experience. So it's not that I hate trail running. It's just mm-hmm. not my favorite.
Well, yeah, I mean, shoot, I think, all of us who have at least dabbled on the trail, or even probably maybe especially those that are almost exclusively trail runners, like, you know, there's always something. There's always a root or a loose yeah. rock or something that you see but you don't. And of course, those are the things that get you. And you know, for you, I would imagine that it's even magnified. So it would be much more difficult. So it's probably almost impossible to do much of a trail run without falling a few times.
Yeah, and the downhill is where I really struggle. That's where that depth perception piece right. comes in. So, like, going downhill, I feel like I'll be out there running with some other girls, and, like, they're just able to fly down the hill, and I'm, like, you know, at half a mile behind. That's probably an exaggeration, but I feel that way. And it's kind of always been that way. I mean, in high school, we would run the course ahead of time, and that would help me feel more comfortable, because once I know the footing, like, you know, it's – not as bad. It just takes me a few times. And even here in town where I live, like, all of our local trails, I feel pretty confident on. Something new, something different is a little stressful, but
right.
you know, as long as I get to the end of it, it's all that matters.
That's right. That's right. And yeah, there is a familiarity, although, you know, like you said, you know, given the choice, roads versus trails, roads are going to be much more uniform, and even the same trail, even the trail you've run 100 times, you know, there's always that chance that something is, you know, there's been a washout or somebody mm-hmm. dropped something, or, you know, a tree root has grown to the point where it is now an issue or something. So those trails are always changing. So even though you know them, there's still that room for something to get you. I mean, something Absolutely. To get all of us, you know, that's mm-hmm. the nature of trail running. So one thing that I noticed in looking through some of your blog and things like that and kind of preparing for today a little bit is, it seems that you've had kind of a, you know, from the early days of running and then, you know, running a bit in college and, you know, to where you are today, there's been some setbacks, some injuries, some ups and downs, some times when things have gone pretty well and, some times where, man, it's like you almost can't catch a break from at least the perusing that I've done. And I'd love to get into that a little bit if you're willing, because I have a background in sports medicine and athletic training. So kind of injuries and running injuries is kind of my thing. But also just, I think that it's something that probably a lot of folks can relate to of things are going well. And then all of a sudden, you know, insert random injury or random sickness or something that totally mm-hmm. derails things. So, I don't know that I have a great question or a great place to start from, other than, you know, what are some of the things that have kind of derailed you a bit at various points along the way?
Well, let's see. More recently, I'd say the biggest thing that's derailed me was I had an Achilles injury that started probably like the end of October last year. That was kind of my own fault. That was like an overtraining injury, because I had pulled my groin during a race last August and then kind of took some time, let that heal. And I had it in my head, like, I need to be training to, I don't know. I was training like I was training for the race of my life, and I wasn't even registered for any race. So it was silly. And I was working all day and then interning at night and then coming home and running on the treadmill just because it was late and dark. And I don't know. I got tendonitis in my Achilles. And as frustrating as that was, like, I couldn't have, gotten hurt at a more perfect time, because, like I said, I was in graduate school, doing this internship and trying to finish my thesis and trying to graduate and working. And so you're going to get injured. Number one, like, getting injured in the winter is probably the best time. It's freezing. It's freezing outside. And number two, like I said, it was frustrating, but it gave me time to kind of just address those other goals that I had as far as, finishing grad school and like trying to build my business. So that wasn't super, it was stressful, but not super stressful. I mean, before that, like, I've had issues with, migraines. I've been getting migraines for 10 years. They're incurable mm-hmm. chronic migraines. that's kind of derailed me a lot, and sometimes more so than others. You know,
right.
So stuff like that more recently.
Right. Right. And I bring that up, like I said, I think a lot of folks can relate to it. And also, and we'll get into maybe a bit more in depth with some of the coaching stuff that you've got going on, in a little bit, but I'd love to tie these two in where, you know, I mean, I work with athletes too. And you know, I mean, running, like, as much as we can try to be preventative of avoiding issues and injuries, and you know, sometimes it is a random migraine, or it's a random sickness, or you step off the, you catch a root, or you catch the curb, you twist your ankle, whatever. These random things that you can't prevent. And sometimes they are, you know, looking back, kind of foolish. Like I trained too hard at this time in my life when I didn't have anything to even be training for, and developed an itis or a plantar fasciitis or a runner's knee or something like that. So with that kind of experience that you have of learning some of these lessons the hard way, or some that are just kind of are the nature of the beast with the migraines, how does that help you when you're working with your athletes to kind of be like, hey, look, like this, you know, this stuff happens. Like it doesn't make it easier. It doesn't make it, you know, fun, but it's sometimes it's part of the process, and trying to help them maybe get through some of those issues as well.
So, you know, and that's an interesting question, because, you know, the reason I even got into coaching at all, is because I feel like as an athlete, I've kind of gone through a lot of things, and if I can help other athletes not go through them, that's like go through them in a more healthy and constructive way. That's kind of what I want to do. So when I'm working with an athlete, I kind of just feel them out. You know, if I know somebody has like uncontrollable health issues, or if I feel like the person might be really hard on themselves, I won't necessarily create a rigid training schedule for that person. So I might do something more or less like, okay, you need to run, say, 30 miles this week. This is the workout. This is the long run. And then the rest of it, you kind of break up over, you know, 5 or 6 days, because it gives you more flexibility. And I know I personally have struggled with that, where if my training plan says on Monday, you need to run 10 miles, and on Monday, I'm like super, super sick with a migraine and puking, not only am I sick and I don't feel well, then I feel like a failure because I'm not doing what's on the training schedule. So I try my best to coach that way. Now that doesn't work for everyone, because some people need that definite structure. And if they don't know what to do on Monday, then they're like, they're lost. Right. So it's more of like, a balancing act, just getting to know the client you're working with, getting to know their history, their background, and creating something that meets their needs. So I feel like that's a big part of, what I've been trying to do, but also trying for me to not be, to kind of lead by example, because it's really hard when things happen. It's really hard when you get injured, but if you frame it a little bit more positively, or you approach it a little bit less, kind of like woe is me type of attitude, it doesn't have to be so bad. And I'm not perfect in that either. Like, it's terrible. Nobody likes when those things happen, but a lot of it is like, think about how you approach it.
Right. Right. And hopefully, you know, hopefully we're not having to have these conversations with our athletes very often, where it's like, yes, you know, this happens, bigger picture, you know, all those types of things to keep in mind. But, you know, hopefully at least, when you do have to have those conversations, like at least your athletes, you know, obviously they know you, but also know that like, you've been there, like you're not speaking from, some pedestal of like, I've never been injured, or I never miss a run, or things like that. Yeah. Where, you know, I think that if we're all honest, we've all been there, but I think sometimes that is the perception, where like the coach is the perfection, and, you know, as the client or the athlete, it's like, well, I had to miss this, and so I'm not as good. And it's like, ah, gosh, like we've all been there. We've all had those issues.
There.
Yeah. It's probably at least maybe a bit easier for you to relate that because you can point to blog posts and history and things like that you've been going through. Like, hey, this is not, it's not a new thing. It's not exclusive to you. We all struggle here.
And you know, like I never get upset if an athlete misses a run. I might get upset with myself for missing a run, but that's kind of like a, you know, that's something I've been working through for, oh my gosh, like half my life. Mm-hmm. That's like an interpersonal struggle. Like I've always kind of had this standard for myself that's maybe not quite realistic or not always realistic for kind of that season of my life. And that's what I try to relay back to athletes too. Like, you know, you have to kind of meet yourself where you are. If you're working three jobs and you're not going to be able to maybe log that high mileage, but you can, rather than focusing on the quantity, focus on the quality.
Right.
So I kind of try to take that approach with it. And like I said, I try to lead by example, though I'm not perfect in that respect. I feel like the reason I don't really know why I started blogging. I just woke up one day and felt like compelled to do it. But now that I have that and I have that platform, I feel like I try to be very transparent about it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it if my life isn't going great at that point. Like I'm just going to share that and then hopefully someone can take something away from it in a more positive light.
Yeah. And you know, one thing that stood out to me from what you just said was that bit about, you know, you're quick to, and paraphrasing obviously, but quick to kind of forgive or not hold it against an athlete that you're working with when something happens and they're forced to miss a run, but you struggle to do that with yourself. And I was just reminded of something that I've heard several times in various places, but you know, the way that we talk to ourselves, we would never let other people talk to us like that, or very, very rarely would we let other people talk to us in the same way that we sometimes talk to ourselves or hold, you know, try to hold ourselves to this perfection standard. And maybe as you know, as a coach, that can be one of the benefits of working with a coach, in that, you know, they can give you that little bit of perspective. Cause I know I've had, and I'm sure you've probably had too, where athletes are like the sky is falling, or I suck. I missed this. I missed that, like whatever. And their notes and their feedback is so self-critical. And it's like, hey, wait a second. Mm-hmm. Like just take a deep breath. I've been there, you know, you're not, again, you know, what we just said, you're not the first person that's had these struggles. You're not going to be the last. But if you beat yourself up about it, it only makes the situation worse. Whereas if you can, yes, it happened. Was it ideal? No. But how can we move forward? That can kind of prevent a little downturn from really snowballing and becoming a big thing. And having that somebody to bounce that perspective off can be quite an asset to have, I would think.
Absolutely. And I think that's kind of where my hang up is right now. Like I'm not working with a coach. And I don't necessarily believe in self-coaching. I think it's impossible. I've tried it countless times over the years. It doesn't work. And I think, you know, moving forward here in the next couple of months, that's something I need to look for myself, because right now my feedback is being reported directly to me. And it's very hard to play that role of coach and athlete. I think the two are very different things, because it's like the coaching side of me is like the logical side of my brain. I know things are going to happen. Workouts aren't going to go well all the time, or some days you just feel exhausted and burnt out and it's not worth running that extra mile. But as the athlete on the other side, my illogical side, I'm thinking like, oh my goodness, I stopped a mile short today. I am going to run 5 minutes slower in the next race. And they don't mesh together very well. And it's a lot of this internal battle. And I've finally built up a really good base of mileage and I want to train for something. But it's not really, I think I'm beyond the point now where I can coach myself. I need to start looking for somebody to help me with that, to kind of ease those thoughts You know, if it doesn't, if something isn't going well in my training, I need somebody to talk to about it that's, you know, a professional in the running community who can tell me, Angela, you're being a little bit irrational right now. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter that you skipped that one workout or if you cut that run a mile short.
Yeah. And I'm smiling to myself a little bit as you're saying that, because as we're recording this, that's exactly what the conversation I had with myself this morning. I was just, you know, like today was just an easy, you know, goal was like 3 to 5 miles, just something simple, loose. Now, tomorrow's a long run, so not trying to do too much today. And like my legs just weren't having it. And, you know, like I was out with the dog and we were working the way back to the house, and it was like, you know, got to about 2 3/4 miles. And it was like, you know what? Like there's no point. Like what is the point of going an extra quarter mile, an extra half? Like it makes zero difference in the grand scheme of things, other than according to my calendar, I came up just a touch short. And it's like, but and so often, you know, it wasn't a workout. It wasn't it was just an easy recovery type of run. And so often, you know, I've been guilty of this and countless runners have as well, where it's like, but the calendar says, and we need to listen to our bodies. And so, yeah, that's where, you know, if that's something that you're struggling with, having that outside perspective, having somebody else to be the voice of reason, because instead of calling the athlete side your illogical side, I call it your passionate side. Like, it's just like you're passionate about it. It's what you're trying to do. And so, you know, when the passion gets high, the reason goes out the window, and you know, it is hard to maybe think clearly at times. So yeah, having that extra thing to just kind of bounce things off of, or you know, just keep you grounded, keep you, you know, understanding the bigger picture can be invaluable. So, you know, talking, I guess maybe we'll just stay in the coaching realm right now. We'll go back to some of the running stuff in a bit, but since we've gotten here and feel like we have some good things going, what encouraged you to go down this route to start a coaching business and working with other runners and helping them reach their goals? What was the impetus to that?
Oh man. So I'm originally from New Jersey, and in 2017, my husband got a job offer out here in Colorado. So we moved. I was coaching with my college coach at a community college in Southern New Jersey. I'd done that for five years. And it was, you know, aside from missing family and friends, that was like giving up that coaching job was, oh, that was the hardest part. So we moved out here, and I didn't want to stop coaching. So I applied for several positions, and I got zero of them. And something that I had been working on before moving out here was my master's thesis, which was the underrepresentation of women in coaching. I won't bore you with that.
I'm sure there'd be plenty of people. I'd be curious, but we can go into it as much or as little as you want.
But, you know, come to, like, I had moved out here. I didn't get these jobs. They all went to men. I really won't get into that because it's kind of, you know, it's irrelevant, but I was upset about it for a while. And I woke up one day and I was livid. I kept getting offered one job in particular, offered me an assistant coaching job to a less qualified man. And that assistant coaching job wasn't even something I had applied for. It didn't even exist. It wasn't even advertised. It's like he just kind of made it up and tried to give it to me to work under this less qualified man. And I said, no, because I'm not going to settle. You know, you get to a certain point in your life where you know exactly what you want and you don't want to settle. And I just woke up really upset one day, kind of feeling down on myself. And I got a shower, and like all of my great ideas in the shower, I decided I'm going to start a business, private coaching business, and I'm going to call it Golden Peak Performance. And I bought the LLC and I bought the web domain and I printed business cards and I became a small business owner just like that.
it's all that easy. It just takes just a couple of minutes after a shower and you're good to go.
Yeah. And it was one of those things where I had two choices. I could either continue being upset about my own misfortune and feeling slighted, or I could do something about it, because I don't think it's fair that somebody who doesn't know me, who doesn't know my experience, who doesn't know my passion for the sport, is able to dictate my future as a coach. And I wasn't going to let that happen. So I decided I could go into private coaching and test the waters with that and see how it goes. You know, I'm not going to be passive looking for, you know, coaching jobs. If I can get a great coaching job, awesome. Mm-hmm. That's even better. But I'm never going to abandon my business, because now I feel like that's another appendage almost. It's just become who I am. And I'm glad. I am so happy that I did it. It was probably one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, congratulations and welcome to the business owner, team business owner over here.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a pretty good ride. And I want to get into that a little bit more in just a second. But first, give a little shout out to the reason that we're having this call today to begin with. Like I mentioned in the intro, we're both, Angela and I are both parts of the red team for Ultra Running and their ambassador program and whatnot. And that was how we originally connected through that Facebook group with all the many crazy, epic, awesome folks that are in that group as well. And haven't done a proper Ultra sponsorship in a while or sponsor read here. So we'll do that today. And as I've done in the past, I'm going to do it again this time, since y'all know why I love ultras, and y'all know, you know, which, although I guess, you know, as we kind of talked about with Angela before we got started here, it's hard to pick just one pair of shoes, because pretty much all of them are, you know, they have their different purposes, their different roles, and they're all pretty darn good. But we'd just be curious, Angela, what, you know, it, being an ultra person, a red teamer, what is your favorite variety of ultra shoes, and a quick reason why, and then we'll get back on to some other stuff.
Right now, I'd say it's the Torin. I just got a brand new pair of hot pink Torins. They just fit my feet so well. I feel like I tried other shoes. I tried the Escalante, which I do like. I've got several pairs of trail shoes, but I always go back to that Torin. So just kind of love it for. Just, I don't know. It just feels like I'm running on a cloud.
There you go. And, yeah, you won't get an argument from me. I don't know that I would label the Torin as my favorite, but it's heavy part of the rotation. It's what I was wearing this morning. So I clearly don't dislike them at all. And guys, if you want to check out more of all the different things that Ultra's got going on, shoe wise, clothes wise, apparel wise, all of the stuff, disruns.com/ultra will get you there. And or you can just obviously go to ultrarunning.com. We'll also get you there as well. But yeah, good stuff. And maybe not for everybody, but I know a lot of you all have tried it and enjoyed them. So, you know, keep letting me know what questions you have about anything ultra related. Let Angela know as well. And we're happy to either know the answer or find the answer and get back to you on that type of topic as well. So, Angela, going back to the coaching talk a little bit, you know, so applied for some jobs coaching at various institutions, schools, things like that, colleges, universities, and didn't anything, nothing happened. Nothing shook out the way that maybe probably it should have, as far as qualifications go. So you start your own business, working with, you know, I'm assuming mostly adults, people that have mm-hmm. have goals and, you know, kind of individualized, you know, working towards their running goals. What's been the difference or the adjustment that you've had to make going from back in New Jersey, working with, you know, a team, you know, a college team, college athletes, to now working with a set of individuals that may well be all across the country, all across the world, as opposed to everybody being in one place at one time. What's been that adjustment for you?
It's been really soul crushing not having a team to coach. It's been hard because I might not see my clients. I am blessed in the sense that I have a lot of local clients, but I might not see them race. Mm-hmm. I might not see them every day, just depending on the arrangement we've worked out. You know, I could send somebody off a training schedule and not hear from them mm-hmm. for a few days, a few weeks. And that's been hard for me because I was so used to watching the workouts happen, watching the races happen, And now it's kind of like I'm waiting, and a lot of them are like ultra runners or something like that. So it's not like I can track it live. Right. I just have to sit there and wait for hours and hours to see what happens. And that's been the biggest adjustment. I think for me, it's just always going to come back to, I love that team atmosphere. I think because I was on a team, like I said, I ran cross country and track and field in high school and college. So that was 8 years of being on a team and really just growing to love that environment. And now it's just, it's not that way. And I feel sometimes disconnected from the athletes, but it's a different kind of satisfaction. It's a different kind of gratification I have for the coaching field, the coaching profession. So it's kind of like comparing apples and oranges, but the biggest adjustment is, like, I don't have that interaction necessarily with all my clients.
What has been, if I'm reading between the lines here, it sounds like that's been kind of the hardest part, is losing that daily interaction, that ability to offer feedback, see how things are going on a daily basis. What has been maybe on the other end of that spectrum, what has been one of the most, I don't know if surprising is the right way of saying it, but one of the biggest highlights of this new avenue of coaching that you're in now that maybe you didn't get to experience in that team environment from before?
Yeah. So the biggest surprise, I would say, is, well, it's kind of two things. Number one, I'd say, is community support. I feel like the community where I live, we're pretty small, close-knit community. So I feel like people have been very supportive and just kind of helping me promote what I'm trying to do. And the second thing is, so I was in graduate school for sports psychology. I recently finished with my master's. I've been able to really implement a lot of those principles into my coaching. Not that I necessarily couldn't have done that before, but I'm able to make specific adjustments or plans, building that aspect of my expertise into the training that I'm writing. And sometimes when you are coaching a team, you might have, like, you know, I know the way we kind of did it was, we had a workout for the day, and then if it needed to be adjusted for a few athletes, we would just adjust it as need be. So you would go in there knowing what you're doing every single day. Whereas with this, I can really kind of fine tune it for that athlete. And then if I know that somebody's struggling with confidence, I can build an exercise into the training to help with that.
Gotcha. The sports psych thing, sports psychology degree that you have now, you kind of got into it a little bit there, but I know for me, I mean, I've said this several times, this isn't new to anybody who's been listening for a while, that mental part, I almost feel like is my biggest weakness. Now, I'm not somebody who could go out there and run a 3:15 marathon if I could just get my mind right. Like there's still some physical improvements that need to be made as well. But you start to look at the conversion calculators and stuff, which I'm not the biggest fan of. But what they say I can do versus what I've proven that I can do are two different things a lot of times. And I know that I've quit on myself several times where it's just like I could keep going, but it hurts a little bit and it's uncomfortable and whatever, screw it. I'm just going to walk for a bit. And then once I let myself go that one time, then it's almost impossible for me to get it back and push through anymore. Like, it's almost like the race is over at that point. So for those that are dealing with similar types of struggles, can you give me a couple of bits of advice and maybe pay that off for a couple other folks as well, where, what are some resources, some things that you've learned, or tricks or tactics or whatever, that can help us maybe shore up a little bit of our mental game if we feel like that's a weak link for ourselves?
The biggest thing, there are like two things that I heavily rely on when I'm working with athletes. And one is preparation. Just like you would go and do that training physically, you need to be prepared for it mentally. So if you're going into a big race, previewing the course, knowing what's going on before you even ever get there. It's a big one. So if you're out there and you're running, it's kind of like a preview. It's going to help you feel more calm going into that race, and it'll help you develop a plan. And if you feel prepared mentally, you know, as well as being physically prepared, it's a lot less nerve-wracking. So that's number one. And I've even done that myself with just the local races I've done around here. I would run the course a couple of days before if I had access to it, or even just kind of close my eyes and visualize myself going through the course and being very specific, like what it might sound like, what it might feel like, you know, what you might see if you're going to do a visualization exercise like that. So that's number one. Not comparing yourself to other people. Mm-hmm. This is something that I say constantly, right? Like, you go to a race and oftentimes you have people who say, my goal is to win. And so with my business being called Golden Peak Performance, obviously there's a strong emphasis on setting effective goals. And anytime somebody's goal is, I want to win, or I want to beat this person, it makes me cringe, because you don't have control over what someone else is going to do. You only have control over what you can do, how you can perform that day. So rather than compare yourself to somebody else, to a competitor, spend time thinking about a realistic goal that you can achieve, be it you want to run a segment of the course in a certain time, or you want to finish, you know, under 30 minutes, or I want to really like focus on my form on the uphills, or if it's a super long like trail race, like I don't want to walk any of the uphill, or setting little process and performance goals that you can control versus an outcome goal like winning the race, which you have zero control over.
Yeah, I love that one. And certainly I don't have the, I haven't been in too many races where the goal to win has been realistic or something that I've thought about, but certainly, you know, I've maybe had, you know, closeted some goals where it's like, you know, placing in the age group or something mm-hmm. like that. And like,
yeah,
you know, it's one of those things, like you said, like I could run the best race I've ever run yep. in my life, but there could be three ringers that showed up that day, or three, you know, maybe nobody local that I'm worried about, but there happens to be three guys from the next town over that show up that day. Mm-hmm. And I, like you said, I can't control that, and to stress about that, to worry about that. Yeah, I can see where that could really be beneficial and something good to remember at all times.
And it happens a lot. I think just the way that our culture is nowadays, it's kind of like this win at all cost culture, and you don't even want to really get me started on youth sport, but a lot of that comes from the youth. And I know that I struggle with that personally. Like, I feel like I need to win, or I need to run faster than so-and-so. And that comes from a lot of my youth. When I first started running, our team was very good. We were very successful. It quickly became all about winning. And so growing up like that, it's been very hard to separate success from winning, because there have been times I have run a PR and I didn't win, or there have been times I've like done something really awesome, but I didn't win, or I didn't place where I wanted mm-hmm. to place, and I feel horrible. So that's the number one piece of advice I can give someone, is just like, separate yourself from that. Set personal goals. Always try to focus on self-improvement. Don't compare yourself to other people. And if you strive for personal growth, you're always going to succeed.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, just to kind of maybe bookend this a little bit or wrap this up, but when you're comparing to others, you know, like we both said, you could have a PR, you mm-hmm. could run the best race ever, but because there were other people there that were faster than you that day, you didn't reach your goal. So it feels like a failure, even though you literally have just yeah. done something that you've never done before. So mm-hmm. certainly a great thing to keep in mind. Shifting a little bit back to your running and a little bit less of the coaching stuff, as we're getting kind of into that window where we start to think about wrapping things up. But one thing I noticed that I can't avoid if I can help it. I love talking about it. Is that one of the marathons you've run, and if the website's to be believed, it's not, hasn't been that many, just a few, three or four marathons, something like that. But one of them happens to be Boston, which is a big goal of mine, a race that I set my sights on. And as I have said several times, jokingly, but very much serious as well, I need to get a little bit faster and a whole lot older, and somewhere those lines are going to meet in the middle, and I'll be able to punch my ticket to Boston. But what was your Boston Marathon experience like?
Oh my goodness, that was hectic. I qualified for Boston and didn't realize it until after the race, when I finally got my phone back and people were texting me like, oh, you qualified for Boston, are you going to go? I just signed up for a marathon like haphazardly. I never had wanted to run one ever before in my entire life. I was like, this is not for me. I don't want to do it. And I just was feeling down on myself, wanted something to focus on. So I signed up for a marathon, went and ran it with like kind of half-assed training. and I qualified for Boston unknowingly. So I signed up for it because some good friends of mine were also going, and I figured if I'm going to do it, I might as well do it with friends. I signed up in September of 2016, found out we were moving to Colorado in November of 2016, moved across the country in January, flew back to New Jersey just to finish up a job I was working on, kind of flew back to Colorado to help my husband unpack, flew back to New Jersey. It was a lot of that going on. Mm-hmm. Finally settled in Colorado full time in March of 2017, struggled with altitude and just kind of getting adjusted to living here full time. A couple weeks later, I was on a plane to Boston. It was kind of like a whirlwind. The training wasn't great. I think going into it, my longest run was 16 miles. Mm-hmm. It was really hot that day, but I can't complain. Like, I ran Boston. Would I do it again? I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But it was like a whirlwind. It just wasn't at all what I was expecting. It all kind of just happened so quickly. So that's kind of what I can say about it. I don't know that I appreciated it, unfortunately, and I feel guilty saying that as much as somebody else might have. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just like a circumstantial thing.
Yeah, well, and that's it's one of those, sounds like one of those examples where, you know, life kind of gets in the way, and
life
even
definitely
if
got in the way.
You know, even if that had been a big goal, you know, with how things unfolded, I mean, what were you gonna like? I don't know that there's much you could have done differently. Like it was just one of those situations where you know, it's obviously not ideal, but what are you gonna do? Like you just kind of roll with it and do the best you can.
Yeah, I went and rolled with it. And as a matter of fact, like I worked at the expo. So I got to Boston and I worked at the expo for 2 days, all day. And then I ran the race that Monday. So it was kind of like, I don't know what I'm doing. It just kind of was a blur. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good experience. I wouldn't trade it away at all. Had I known I was going to move, probably like wouldn't have signed up for it though. I'm mm-hmm. about 90% sure I wouldn't have committed to that. But
what was for you the highlight of that whole whirlwind, crazy, unexpected weekend? What would be your highlight?
Just getting to be there, spend time with a lot of other runners, a lot of other like-minded people. There were a bunch of us crammed in this tiny little apartment. We called it the real world apartment. There were like six of us or seven of us. I don't remember at right now, but there were so many of us in this tiny little apartment. It was just insane. And it was fun. I got to see one of my friends from high school. She was out there watching her boyfriend race. I got to work at the expo and just kind of see people from all over the world and how excited they were, and to kind of hear different stories of how hard everybody worked to get there. And then I found $40 blowing across the street. So it was just kind of like a, just, yeah, it was a fun experience, but the run itself didn't feel super great. I was definitely undertrained. It was really hot. I wasn't prepared to run the race at all.
Right. Right. Well, and that's, you know, again, you run long enough, you plan things out far enough advance, and eventually, not a matter of if, but a matter of when, life kind of throws you a curveball, and you know, you're going to have those races, and it just, you know, maybe it's a good thing that Boston wasn't this huge pinnacle thing for you, so that, you know, the fact that race didn't go as well as it you probably would have liked doesn't sting that. It's just, you know, it's just a race that didn't go
It didn't really sting at all. No, it didn't sting. I ran 3:33.00. I don't know how I did that. I'd never be able to do that again. It was just like such a weird time. But I got to a point in the race where I was like, okay, well, it's not going well. I really want to finish. I would really like something to eat. I'm hungry. Like, I just need to run until I get to the finish line. And if I can re-qualify, that would be even better. Mm-hmm. And now I kind of have this motto where I say, like, I don't want to do another marathon again unless I've actually trained well for it, because you don't want to be standing on that starting line thinking, like, you know, 26.2 miles is a long time and anything can happen. And you don't really want to put yourself in a situation for, like, to be undertrained and underprepared. And that's how I felt going into Boston. And if you're going to be undertrained and underprepared, that's not the caliber of race where right. you do that. So.
Right. Well, and yeah, I mean, like you said, anything can always happen, but 26 miles when you're prepared, if you're really pushing, I mean, even if you're not pushing hard, but if you're pushing hard, it's tough. But yeah, if you know that you're not as prepared as you want to be, boy, it just becomes even more daunting and difficult. And, you know, kudos to you for not just letting it go. Cause a lot of people would have just said, like, oh, well, forget it. And at least you have a story you can tell, if nothing else.
Oh my gosh, I do.
So, as we're getting to that point of wrapping up, Angela, the way I like to finish these things is with something I call a philosophical question, which sometimes sounds a little scarier than it is, but it's just very similar to the introductory questions. It's something that's mm-hmm. pretty simple and open-ended. And you can just take it and do whatever with it you want. We've had some folks that have answered with, 10-15 minutes worth of an answer. Certainly a few folks that it's been two or three words and that's it. And, for the most part, they tend to be somewhere obviously in the middle of that kind of range. But I'd just be curious for you, and talking with, you know, a fellow coach and somebody who obviously enjoys what they do and enjoys helping others to reach their goals. Can you identify a way or two that coaching has helped you, you know, being a coach and working with other athletes has helped you and your personal improvement and growth in the sport of running? And that might be a great place to kind of wrap things up for today.
Yeah. It's definitely helped me become a better athlete. I still have a long way to go, but I know now that people are watching me. They're watching what I do. They're watching how I handle things. It's helped me not be so nervous. When I was coaching in New Jersey and I would run a race and the athletes I was coaching were going to be there, you know, there was a time in my life where I would stand on the starting line, like crying because I was so nervous and so scared. And then when I started coaching, I've just felt a lot calmer about it. I felt like I can't be that way because I don't want them to be that way. I don't want them to see me be that way. I want them to think, like, if you go into the race confidently, you'll have a good result. So it's really helped me calm down. It's helped me be less nervous about my performance. And honestly, there is going to come a time in my life, and hopefully it's not for a while, but there's going to come a time in my life where I just feel like I can't personally go any further with my running, whether I just get so old that I can't run anymore, or, you know, I just hit my peak ability level. And I think coaching has helped me realize that, okay, like, maybe I can't do that, but I can help somebody else do that.
I love it. Helping others. There's nothing, not a whole lot of better feeling than that. So great place to wrap up as what the philosophical questions usually end up doing. Great kind of ribbon to put on things and wrap it up. Once again, goldenpeakperformance.com is the website. That's G-O-A-L-D-E-N, Golden Peak Performance. And the road less traveled. I'm looking right at, looking right at the words here and reading the wrong thing. Theroadlessrun.com. Come on, get it right. And on the socials, at Golden Peak, G-O-A-L-D-E-N, Peak, and at The Road Less Run social media. If you want to connect with Angela and find out more about what she's got going on, maybe work with her or whatever, just follow along in her journey and learn as you go. And once again, disruns.com/626 is the link for the show notes. We'll have everything in there as per usual. If you can find that, you can find ways to get in touch with Angela and follow along with what she's got going on. So, Angela, thank you for taking the time today. I really appreciate it. Always good to chat with a fellow coach and hopefully learn a few things that you know not only can help me but also can help others as well. So thanks for the time. Thanks for the wisdom, and I certainly wish you nothing but the best going forward.
Thank you for having me.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. Hope you enjoyed the conversation between Angela and myself. And as always, I'd be curious to know what stood out to you from today's episode. What was your big takeaway from what we talked about today? For me, it definitely was something that has been talked about before, something I've talked about before, something other folks have talked about before, but it was, you know, just a good reminder and another, you know, one of those key things that you can almost never mention enough because somebody always needs to hear it. Half the time, I'm the one that always needs to hear it as well. But it's just the idea that the only thing you can control about your running is yourself. You know, there's always going to be things that are out of your control. There's going to be things that other runners do. There's going to be weather. There's going to be climate. There's going to be course conditions. There's going to be the course itself. There's going to be maybe, you know, kind of how your stomach happens to respond that day to the food you eat or the fuel you take during the run. Even though you've been doing the same thing over and over and over again today, maybe for whatever reason, it doesn't work as well. And there's always those things. There's always, you know, those extraneous variables that have to be taken into consideration. But at the end of the day, the only thing that you can truly control is how you respond to those things, how you respond to those extraneous variables, how you react when things either continue to go to plan and you can stick to the script, or more likely, how you react when things go off script and you've got to adjust, you've got to adapt, you've got to respond, you've got to, you know, change your outlook or whatever you've got to do, you can control yourself. You can control your effort. You can control your mindset. You can control your outlook. You can control how you respond. And, you know, again, it's one of those things that in the moment is very tough to do. It's easy for me to say this here on this end of the microphone. It might be easy for you to nod your head and go, well, yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense when you're listening to it right now. But when you're out there, when it's your goal race and something crazy happens, when it's a key workout, and life happens. When you're in the moment, man, it can be difficult to really keep in mind that, you know, that it's just life and not overreact and not blow your top and not lose your cool and not get caught up in the moment and in the emotion and blame the course, blame the race director, blame other folks, but just accept it and then control how you respond. So again, it's not one of those things that's easy. It's not one of those things that you just need to mention once and it'll always, you know, just take care of itself. It's something that we all, at least I think all of us, certainly myself, maybe you, maybe not, but maybe you as well, need to be reminded of consistently and always be working towards. Always be working towards not reacting to the external environment, but just recognizing, all right, I'm in control here. What can I do to make this situation go my direction? And always work towards doing that. So that was my takeaway. What about you? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. And of course, you can head over to the show notes for this episode and leave your thoughts and feedbacks and comments and takeaways there as well. DizRuns.com/626 is a link to get you back to the show notes, connect with Angela. All that good stuff is there as per usual. And that is about it for today. Once again, thanks to Ultra for the support through the sponsors, which keeps things going and growing. DizRuns.com/Ultra will take you right there to the Ultra homepage. And you can check out all the different clothes and apparel and shoes, of course, that are there. And if you have any questions on any of that stuff, feel free to let me know. Or you can ask Angela as well. She knows her stuff. She's hip to the Ultra crowd. She can give you her thoughts and feedback and opinions on the various products that she's used as well. So let us know. And don't forget that great 30-day return policy get some shoes, wear them, test them out, and if they're not right for you, no harm, no foul. Send them right back. Full refund without any questions from Ultra at all. So with that, let's go ahead and put a bow on this thing for today. Thank you guys for listening. As always, if you enjoyed this one, go ahead and click share and send it along and let some other people, you know, check out the show and maybe learn to enjoy this program as well. Again, thanks for all that you've been doing and continue to do and have done to spread the word. The show growth is directly related to that. So thank you so much. And until next time, please be well. Take good care. Thanks again for listening. And we'll talk soon, all right? See you guys.